In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. The three-year-old boy was adorable. Dimples in his cheeks, a Kirk Douglas cleft in his chin. For those of you who were younger, a Ben Affleck cleft in his chin. A winning smile. His mother was juggling her own meal, a bag, a cell phone call, and trying to keep an eye on her child at the same time. The boy looked at his mother, realized that she had momentarily turned away, and he started blowing through his straw, massive bubbles in his glass of milk. She turned toward him and said, "No, no bubbles." My lunch companion and I were laughing because we had both raised boys, and we knew how much little boys love blowing bubbles in their milk. The boy spotted us and giggled a little bit, even as he stopped blowing the bubbles through the straw. Then Mom was once again distracted as the phone rang yet again, and he saw his opening. She wasn't looking. He was in the clear. And in an instant, he blew through the straw and made bubbles once more. Sure, Mom had said no bubbles, but it was so much fun, and she wasn't looking now, and we were laughing with him, so he bubbled away. It was against the rules, but he'd come up in that moment with several reasons why he thought he could do it. At the age of 3, he had already learned about finessing the rules. We are masters at finessing the rules, aren't we? We can find excuses to justify whatever we want to do. We know what the rules are, we know what we're supposed to do, and yet we come up with excuses or reasons to explain that what we're trying to do really isn't a violation. The situation is different when it comes to us. We find a way to convince ourselves that what we were doing is all right, even though deep down we know otherwise. Now, when we're children, our parents set rules for us. If we're one of those children who are independent or creative or just plain difficult, of course, none of our children are like that, right? Our parents layer rules upon rules, hoping to control our behavior by dictating what we should and should not do. But still, we always manage to find ways to justify breaking those rules. How many of you have heard, "But Grandma said I could," and "Grandma's your mother"? You see how it works. It doesn't change when we're adults. And this is the reason why the IRS tax code is thousands of pages. Because every time somebody makes a rule, somebody else tries to find a way to avoid adhering to it. It's the reason why banking regulations have gotten so complicated in the wake of the financial meltdown of 2008. We try and regulate people's behavior with rules, but the sad fact is that it rarely works. If we consider how things worked back in Jesus' time, how the people of Israel tried to live into the covenant that had been made with God, it was really all about rules. The Old Testament has almost 700 of them listed in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, enforced in those days by rather intense preaching and teaching by the Pharisees, who were the religious reformers of the age. They recognized that people were getting rather lazy about keeping the rules that were supposed to guarantee a good relationship with God, and they wanted to fix it. But we know human nature, both then and now. You make the rules, people try to finesse them. And the Pharisees recognized that people were finessing the rules and kept chastising them for playing games with the rules, but it still wasn't working. So, what happened? Let's take it as a given that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth to repair what was evidently a broken, or at least flawed, relationship.